Ashley's in shock. 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, there, podcast listeners. Oh, we're going to start again. I hate that. 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, here we go. We're really going to put this one out. This is recording take number 7.
I think so.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading our podcast and joining us as we just kind of talk into these microphones again. We don't know if this will actually end up on the site.
March is wrapping up. We have not published a podcast in probably 3 months. However, we've recorded over half a dozen that have not seen the airwaves.
Well, let me set it up. Hold on. We're getting into it too quick. Okay. Right. My name is Jason. I'm joined by my wife, Ashley. Together, we own, operate, and live at a little slice of heaven we call La Tavola Marche, an agriturismo farm, inn, and cooking school in beautiful Piobico, Italia. And we do a little podcast. Well,
inconsistently
at best. Today is the 31st of March, the last day of March, and today is a beautiful, well, kind of a little cloudy, but
it started beautiful.
When we woke up, it is a beautiful spring day. Birds are chirping, sun is shining, a little bit of breeze, and we're ready to go.
It smells like fresh cut grass. Mowed the lawn the other day, trimming the hedges. Cutting back all the brush. It feels like spring. We've got the sore bodies to prove it. I did some sort of spastic, ungraceful, unathletic pirouette off of a short, not even, barely a step.
I wouldn't really call it a step, and I would call what you did more of a Humpty Dumpty type.
I know. I was saying it was ungraceful.
Fall over type thing.
It was so weird. And I like popped out some weird joint in my hip. I don't know. I'm walking around and feeling like a granny, but it's a good reminder that thank God it happened before guests are here and the season started, but how vulnerable our bodies are. Jason busted himself in the face and leg yesterday.
That was pure stupidity.
That was hysterical.
I wasn't really going to mention that.
I had to.
Smacking yourself in the face with the handle of a tool is not something I really want to talk about.
And then to go on and hit yourself in the leg with it, too.
Yeah, twice. Well, we're out of practice. Yesterday, I did 4.5 hours of good hard work around the house with the Godster, with Gaji, and then had lunch and then slept for 3.
Your body needs to recuperate.
We are not in fighting shape, let me tell you. We've been gone for the last 6 weeks. We spent a little time in central France in Limoges.
We found out we were saying it wrong for the first bit of time. We'd say Limoges. And it was like, no, it's Limoges.
Limoges. I was fulfilling one of my dreams of getting my pilot's license. So we went to France where they have a it's much cheaper. And it's a school that has English-speaking instructors, because even though we do speak Italian, I would much rather learn in my own language.
Hashtag bucket list.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was really fun.
That was a really big deal.
It was a big, big, big deal for me, and it put my mind to work instead of just my back, which is something I haven't dusted off the old brain for quite a while in that kind of sense.
You were flying like 3 times a day. It was pretty intense.
It was really intense, and I'm not used to using my brain like to make calculations or to think about angles or fuel or any of these things. So I would come home at the end of the day exhausted, but not physically mentally. But when you come home mentally exhausted, but then you shove pate and foie gras and
salted butter
and salted butter in your face, but you really just sit on your butt in a plane or in a classroom, get fat.
You get fat, and it's the winter weight we've put on, and folks, we put it on. Boy,
excellent.
Business is booming.
Let me tell you something. France, I do like France. You can't really compare France and Italy because they're, you know, two different countries, two different people, two different cultures. I will say that the French know how to make a loaf of bread.
I'll say the Italians can make good coffee.
They do make good coffee. The French can really do up the fresh cheese, like the chev, the fresh goat's milk cheese was.
The Italians can make awesome pasta.
Yeah, well, I didn't want pasta.
No, I'm doing tit for tat. Now you have
to
do
one. Oh, you're doing tit for tat. I didn't know we were playing this
game. Yeah.
Okay. So The pâté was really good. Roulette. Basically, you cook down meat and pull it apart, whether it's duck or what'd they do? Duck, they did goose, and they did rabbit.
They also do pork.
They do pork roulette. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of whip it up with fat.
Whip it up.
And then you take hot bread that you toasted and you rub it on the bread, and it's...
Let me tell you, a little wine, a little bit of that. That's a nice way to get your evening started.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Or a nice little breakfast toast. It's just good.
I fell in love with cornichons.
That's what I was just going to say.
At school, I'd come every day and I'd bring like a salad with like either a slice of pate or like the roulette that we were talking about, or like just whatever, you know,
something delicious.
But always cornichons every day. And cornichons are the little pickles, that little soury tiny pickles.
They are good.
And finally, one day, one of my instructors turned to me and was like, all right, what's with the cornichons? Enough with the goddamn cornichons.
Because you literally, and your lunch would change, but those cornichons stayed the same.
Love the cornichons.
In fact, we brought a big jar home.
And of course, the croissants and all that.
When you tell like Italians here that we were in France, it's hysterical because they are so they don't want to give in any credit for food or wine or anything.
We got back, I don't know, a week ago, 10 days ago. Last Tuesday, we were at the little Fusciani with the meat and cheese truck, the fish guy and the porchetta guy. And they were like, oh, welcome back, blah, blah, blah. How was it? I was like, good, good. They're like, so what do you think of France? And I was like, well, you know, you can't.
No.
You got to play to your crowd, right?
Yes.
So I'm like, well, you know, they have good bread. And everyone agreed. Yeah. Bread in France. I think even they, you know, mm-hmm. they're like, okay, bread in France is good. But then I start talking about the croissants and the
butter,
and they're like, and then everyone was like, oh, no, too much butter.
This one woman kept saying to me, oh, all that animal fat. Yes, I mean, the butter's good, but all that animal fat, you are so much better having olive oil. And she just kept going over and over, all this animal fat there. That's all they do is eat animal fat. And it was like, and I kept going, yeah, it's so good.
It's animal fat, so good. I do think that the I like our wine better.
I do too.
It has more body to it, I think. What do you? I mean, you're the wino. I don't really
drink
wine.
I agree.
Like
I liked the rosés up there, but I do like the wines from our area. What else was a good difference?
Oh, it seemed like the French countryside versus the Italian countryside was a little bit more modern.
Ooh, true.
It just seemed like they had their act together in like technology, a little bit more technology, a little bit more. The roads were a little better.
There's more access to the outside world in that sense, too. Like, versus the Italian countryside where you wouldn't see as many foreign food products, things like that.
I'm not even talking about that.
I'm saying at the grocery store or things like that.
You always go back to food. I'm saying more of just... In general, infrastructure. Like there was internet, there was roads, there was lighting on the roads, there was...
It seemed like less... rundown farmhouses. It could be the region we were in was nice too, but maybe just more money was put back into
the
countryside.
Right. It seemed like they all had all the farmhouses were a little bit cleaned up, and they still had the old, but I don't know. I like France. I could definitely live in France.
It also seemed like people were, speaking of modern or technology, using credit cards for things Italians would never dream of.
Oh, the guy who paid for it.
That stuck with me.
Ashley was very appalled. We were in an underground parking structure where you play at the machine before you walk down the stairs or the elevator to go to your car. And it was I don't know if it was the time of year, but this is in the city center of Limoges, and it would always be something stupid, like 20 cents or 60 cents. I think one time we parked all day and it was like
free. What no, time it was?
No, that was in Brieve.
Oh, okay.
Brieve, whatever. We'd always joke like, how much do you think it's going to be? And one time we stayed like four or five hours, it was like €3.40. So the guy in front of us, it was literally 60 cents to park, and he whips out a credit card and uses a credit card. And it's like, oh, that would never happen here. At all.
No. You were mentioning something about the change there, too. Like, they didn't want to be dealt with, like...
They were much more... Okay, here in Italy, when you go to pay for something, if it's $3.50 and you have the change, you have the 50 cents, or if it's $3.20 or whatever, and you have the 20 cents, they'll take it. They want the change. in Holland, they don't, you go to give them the 20 cents, like you say you give them a five and go to give them the 20 cents, they look at you like, why are you handing me coin? What are you doing? It was a bit like that in France too. They didn't, they wanted to give you the coins, they didn't want to take the coins.
I'm trying to think, there was, they still also had like kind of that midday break. Things were closed on Sundays, so none of that was a big surprise.
No, it was still very much a European country in the sense that my flight instructor had to go get his there was a problem with the internet. It's taken months to work out.
Mm-hmm.
There was another the lady who we rented the apartment from that where we stayed, she tried to get information from the tourist office because, you know, she rents an apartment. She has other apartments. When she goes to get maps of the city, they give her three.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they do with us. Like, why would you give people who
so
promote
ridiculous.
Tourism of this?
It made me so happy to hear that. As weird as that is, I thought, oh my God, thank God we're not alone.
No, we're not alone. But it was great. I had a great time. I learned how to fly. I now have a EASA, which is basically the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration of Europe, pilot's license. And now I have a license to learn. Oh my God, there's so much to learn.
So much to learn.
So now I have to come back to Italy and go join a aero club and relearn everything. Everything, basically.
Oh, it's going to be a whole new world. We'll see if they speak English.
It's a whole new world.
Checking out the maps look different.
No, they're not going to speak English.
No, it's going to be.
But at least now, on the radio, I can understand what they're saying instead
That's
of
true.
In France. The controllers and the pilots were speaking in French.
Like, wah, 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 wah.
And I have no idea what's going on. So, anyway, that was great. We got home, 10 days ago now, and it's back to work. We are opening up for our final season. It's the final countdown. So I know we've mentioned it 100 times before, but this is our final season. We are executing the plan. We've gotten asked 100 times because we're selling the business. Everyone's first question is, why are you getting out? Why are you selling the business? Why are you leaving something that you started? And our answer is too simple. I don't know if people don't believe us. They think there has to be a negative connotation to this, but 2 years ago we decided we have two more seasons and after that we're done. So
that's it.
I wish it was like, I don't know.
It's not romantic. It's in the sense of like, I don't know. It's just that's what we decided. And it's really hard for people to understand. It's kind of similar to even moving out here. I mean, people thought that this was a dream for our whole lives to live in Italy. And it wasn't. It was, we came on our honeymoon, loved it, and thought, let's live there. And then a year and a half later, we were. And it was just making something happen. So I think that the kind of lack of buildup, like you were saying too, we know we've been talking about it for 2 years. So it's a shock for some people, but it's interesting people's reaction to that. Like Jason was saying, they think there must be something negative. I came across someone really nice had posted a link about the sale of our business and the property and like, hey, check it out. Or, you know, what a dream it would be to do this. And the comments got super nasty on everything from, oh, the bureaucracy to taxes to there must be some secret reason why they're leaving. And it was like, none of these things are true.
None of these are true.
None of them.
We love Italy. We're not going anywhere. The plan was to move to Italy, and we did the Agriturismo because that was a way that we could take our skills, right?
Yep.
And what we knew how to do, which was run a kitchen and hospitality.
Yeah.
And it was a way to come here and work and build a business. And a couple of years ago, it was just that time where it's like, what are we going to do? Are we for the future? Are we going to keep doing this and build it up? And we decided that we're ready to do something different. We're really excited about doing something different. And that just doesn't people just don't understand that. I don't know.
I even got an email. It was very sweet intentions, but very funny to read. because it was a little hostile at the same time, from this nice woman who was so upset to hear that we were leaving. And it's been her dream to come to our inn and bring her entire family. And to find out that we're leaving makes her so just, it's so, so sad and so upsetting because she was hoping to come out in 2017. And it's funny because I just think,
she's been following us for years.
She's been following us for years. Just come. Or I understand times change or it's hard to get everyone together, but you can't, I don't know. It's kind of crazy to expect we'd be here forever too. But I guess all good things come to an end.
Yeah. So we're actually, this isn't, we're not burned out. In fact, quite exactly. The contrary. I'm super excited mm-hmm. for this to be our last season. I'm really excited. I think I'm going to really enjoy the blood, sweat, tears, good times, bad times, problems. Mm-hmm. God only knows what's going to happen with, you know, every year there's something. There's always a story out of every year. What will this year's story be? Hopefully it'll be a positive one,
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, flooding water, the week, first oh my week God, of, exactly. Of opening.
I've told myself I won't let Godji drive me as crazy as yeah. last year.
Ashley's going to have more patience with the old Godster.
Last year he was on my, you know, totally on my shit list, but this year I'm going to let it all go. Enjoy the craziness that is the Dr. Godji and let him, take over his capo as he pleases. Cause it won't be happening much longer.
So each time I finish, I'm doing a job that I absolutely hate, like clearing the brambly thorny bushes in front of the
wait till you do the fat trap.
I just tell myself this is the last time I'm gonna really do this here at Cockamamie, exactly. So enjoy it.
It's true.
And yeah, like I said, we're not leaving Italy. We're gonna stay in Italy. We're going to be we'll talk about what we're gonna be doing next on another podcast. That's another thing. We don't really have a good concise explanation of what we're doing. Basically, we're going to develop content, mm-hmm. Whether it's videos or do social media or marketing for mm-hmm. different social media marketing for different places. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it, Jason and Ashley.
No, we're excited. We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of things on the burners. Hey, and if you got ideas for us, shoot them our way. We're open. Just like free samples. I'll take what I can get. But
So we'll do another we'll do a podcast about the nuts and bolts of selling a business in Italy and starting a business in Italy.
Yes, I think that'll be really interesting. So if you guys have questions about the sale of our business or how to get started, we've noticed I think some people are more looky-loos when it comes to asking information about our place and really just want our, not expertise, but want our...
They're just curious. They want to kick the tires. They want to see what are they really selling? How does it work?
No, but people ask us questions that they should be researching.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, well, we got probably so far about 50 or 60 emails. Out of that, there's really 10% that are serious, which is probably pretty normal, I would say. A lot of people, I'm not interested. I'm not really interested in buying. But how much, they just want all this information. Like,
I know.
Can you show us your books?
I know. I guess I'm out of that running, but I'd love to see your books. Oh, well, let me send them right over to you. That's so weird. But, we'll do a whole podcast on that. And it will mostly be fluff. We won't give too many details or specifics on any sort of numbers. That's the Italian way. But if you have... Indirect questions. We'll be happy to try to answer them or work our way around them. We were going to talk about what goes into opening the house.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we close up the house pretty tight every year. We shut the water off to the apartments. We shut the power off. We kind of wrap up everything, the beds and everything. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I wanted to just set this up really quick with that. We got interviewed about running a bed and breakfast and what's it really like. So it kind of made us think about on the podcast too, you know, what's it really like? This is what it's really like. It's not just, having people over. I don't know. There's a lot that goes into it.
There's a lot of work that goes into, before the first guests arrive, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And by time if you're staying here and we're open, most of the heavy lifting has been done.
It should be.
So usually during January and February, we'll get a stretch of nice weather where it'll be sunny for 3-4 days. And we'll do a lot of outside work then. We'll prune trees, clear up branches that have fallen, cut back brambly bushes, burn hillsides with dead grass. Like all this stuff that you do a day here and a day there. And before you know it, by the time the end of March rolls around, outside's pretty much, you know, cleaned up and ready for the spit and polish. Well, we were gone this year, so we didn't really have a chance to do that. So when
God,
we,
you didn't do jack. And
God, how dare him?
I know.
And the Godster didn't.
I thought the old man would get bored and come over.
Come over and just pick up sticks.
Yeah.
So that this last week has been spent doing what we should have done in January and February, which is the general pruning of hedges and trees. And
speaking of trees and picking up sticks, there was a lot of wind this winter that we missed, and trees fell down.
Yeah, trees fell down. I pulled down a tree with a car the other day. We tried
never done that before.
We had a tree that was leaning over a little bit on another tree, got pushed over by the wind.
And by the way, the one with the car was hysterical because Gadget keeps just going, go, go. And it's like, oh my God.
So he wanted to just, I'm getting sidetracked, but he wanted to just cut the thing down and let the top half fall. And I thought, that is a bad idea. You're gonna crush yourself with a tree. So we compromised and we hooked a big rope to it, and I hooked the rope to the end of the car, and we just kind of pulled it down, which actually worked pretty well.
It did, but he wanted you to like gas it and stuff, and it was like, oh my God.
It was fun. I've never pulled a tree down with a car, but I digress. So that's what's been going on this week. Then we go through the apartments one by one with a yellow legal pad, and you write down every little detail that's wrong, from spots on the wall to, you know, screws that are missing to leaky toilets to nothing really major this year.
No. But you got to go through and, yeah, it's lists. What you got to fix, repair, buy.
You just have to kind of know what you're getting into. And we don't do that at the end of the season, because at the end of the season, we just kind of put the house away.
We're done.
I can't do it. So take inventory of all the kitchenettes and everything that's in there. And then you just kind of go one at a time. So today we'll do painting, and you go around and you do the spot painting that needs to be done. Today we're doing little fixes.
Tried to do the spot painting the other day of the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that paint goes bad.
Oh, my God. It looked like brown, poopy paint. It went from that like buttercup yellow to Jesus Christ. What happened?
Well, if you're someone sitting in their car or listening to this going like, yeah, no, idiot, no kidding, paint goes bad. I had no idea paint went bad.
We have like weird chalky paint, and we've probably had that paint for like 3 years, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, here in the house, I don't know if it's because the owner was cheapo and did it this way or if that's how they do it here, but they don't use latex-based paint. They use this weird base. And it's an off-color, off, like, creamy base product. And then they add the color to it, which is a chalk powder.
Oh, the color is the chalk powder.
The color is the chalk powder. So it's this weird paint. It's not like what you're – like, you can wipe it off. It can wipe off.
Which is good and bad, because then your sponge has paint on it, but, like, the mark –
it's gone.
It's kind of gone because it does wipe off. It's weird.
And you can blend it into it real much better because it's like latex paint. You can't really spot paint anything, but this you can. I don't know. I'm not a paint expert, but I've never seen this kind of paint before.
I tried it in like three different spots because I thought, oh, it's the kitchen. It's dark. Maybe it's just the shadows.
It looks like you rubbed yellow poop on the wall.
And it was like, oh, let me go try a few other spots. No. It all looks bad.
So, yeah. So, we do the walkthrough. And then it's just one job at a time. All right. There's silicone today. And we'll do silicone on the three showers that need the new silicone. And you just kind of take it away. We really don't do the deep clean until about 10 days before we open, because it's kind of pointless. The spiders will make their spider webs. And it's just the countryside. You clean a room.
It's very – we put them away clean, and it's not dusty or anything like that. There's no windows open or anything coming in and out, but it's really not bad at all.
No. This year we've gotten much better than previous years. Previous seasons we've just been like cooked. Like I remember our second or third one. It was like I am just – done.
Totally.
And we didn't take the time to
do that. I don't even know. Did we just not put it away right?
We didn't put it away right. We didn't take the, like, we left the comforters on the beds instead of wrapping them up. We didn't put the products in the windows to keep the bugs from making homes in it. We didn't, like, shut the water so there's, you know, drips of water would make stains on the back of the toilets.
Yeah.
All these little things that you learn. And then now that we've kind of got it down, it's not that hard. It's really not that hard to go through the house and open it up. It's the projects that...
Oh, my God. Like the pool.
Yeah, like the pool. Oh, my God. We had a big windstorm when we were gone, so it blew... I don't know how this happened. It blew the sandbags that were holding the pool cover into the pool. So Ashley now has to put on a... you got to put on a teeny bikini and go into the disgusting.
He keeps telling me that it's good for my skin.
It's good for your skin. You can go in and fish out the, actually they'll be light because the sandbags will be in the water. And then once you lift them to the water surface, I'll take them out.
Oh, that's so gentlemanly of you.
It's going to be freezing.
Oh my God. I'm not doing it.
Yes, you are. No. That's definitely, we'll definitely have to Rochambeau for that. So we have 22 days, which mm-hmm. is enough time. You know, we don't have a lot of big major projects.
No, but it's just thinking ahead, like 22 days. Okay. There's weekends, there's Easter in there, and there's times where people will be closed or out of town. So like refilling the wine and olive oil where you have to go to more specialty places. We got to start putting in those orders.
Linens.
Because the 22nd, we're doing bottling wine with the guests.
Oh, so see, there's a couple. Yeah, we have no olive oil. Oh, which reminds me, I totally forgot about this. There was a terrible olive oil year this year in most of Italy.
Uh-huh.
We had a mild winter last year, which didn't kill the eggs for some...
Like vine mite. Not vine mite, but like something mite that grows in the bark of the olive trees.
And a lot of the crop of olives for this year was ruined. So I don't know.
Devastated.
I don't know what the price of oil is going to be. The quality of the oil, is it going to be good? So it's going to be very interesting to see. It didn't affect the grapes, only the olives.
Because we were normally buying our olive oil at like 9 euros.
No. 9. That's what they want in Cartoceto.
Oh.
9 euros a liter. What do they think we are?
So what do we pay?
6 to 7.
Okay.
But...
We ain't no fool.
I don't. Well, Cartoceto is our little. Is our closest little area that produces olive oil. They produce a very small amount, and it's sometimes not every year, and they get a premium for it. Personally, I want to. I don't particularly like the olive oil as much as from other areas of the market.
I'm just joking. And I think that it's kind of an inflated premium because it's in this weird, is it like a little microclimate or why are those trees just super old there?
We should know.
It's a spot that is unique to the area.
It's literally, the name of the town is Cartoceto, and look it up. We should look it up. But I don't particularly care for that olive oil. I like to go to, what's the name of the frontoio we go to in Yessi? Or no, it's an Osimo,
mm-hmm.
whatever, I don't remember, Mancini or something like that. Anyway, he's got great, delicious, buttery olive oil, and you fill it up straight from the stainless steel tanks.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. So we'll
see. That guy has no character, by the way.
In a land of, in a land of character, Italian characters, he is very, very serious and doesn't say much at all. He gives you your olive oil, and he's wearing, you know, the typical sweater vest.
Yes. I mean, we've gone there like 3 or 4 years in a row now, and it's just hysterical because...
Well, Ashley shows up with her camera, and she wants to...
Oh, look, give me a little love. Work it
dance,
for me.
Dance, monkey, dance. Yeah. And he doesn't
well, also because a majority of Italians love to promote, and they're very proud of their product, and they'll put on a little show for you. This guy, no interest, doesn't want to look at you. Just
maybe you should take the hint.
I know. And every time I want another sample of it, just to like recheck and stuff, but he recognizes us enough to know that we want to just get the big, like fill up our huge containers. So he doesn't even offer it anymore. Did you notice
not
that?
Not in the tasting room.
No, I know. Well, I still just wanted a taste.
Because he doesn't have to do the pomp and circumstance. I know you guys. You're here to buy 100 liters of olive oil. Let's get to it.
And I'm like, just give me a little sample. An assaggio.
So that's opening the, that's basically how to open up the, that's how. No, but that's basically
it's
what we're
start,
going
yep.
through. And then laying in provisions and the final clean of the rooms and everything.
Slowly doing the flowers. Yeah. And you didn't even touch on the garden.
Well, the garden's not yet. The garden doesn't open.
No, but God, you was talking about potatoes.
Yeah, well, they're not even around yet. So as soon as the potatoes come in, I'll plant them. But, deep clean the kitchen, deep clean everything, and then you do the final clean about a week before people show up because it's amazing. It's I don't know. It's just like
even the spider webs are incredible. It's an old stone farmhouse.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? Who needs it?
So, speaking of this season starting, what do we have coming up in 2015, Ashley, as packages?
Oh my gosh, it's an exciting year. It's definitely a bucket list year. We and I don't think since we've had a podcast we have mentioned this, but we were included in USA Today's bucket list cooking classes from around the globe. That's why I keep saying that. So that was pretty exciting. But this May, actually April, starting April 22nd to 26th, we have our bottling wine and foraging for wild edibles class, and we've got a couple spots left for that. If you are looking for a last minute trip to Italy. Oh, and by the way, keep in mind while I'm saying these packages that the euro exchange is one of the best times possible for the US dollar to come to Europe right now. So book those tickets. Then we've got in May our Made in La Marche package, where we do three cooking classes. You do a wine tour, cheese tasting, olive oil tasting. You do a meat and cheese tour of our little Apecchio and craft beer tasting and tour. It is truly, you get to taste all of these things made here in the northern part of La Marche. It's a great way to get a sample and flavor of the area. And that is the middle week, I think like the 12th, starting the 12th, and then again starting like the 25th. We've got it going for 5 nights, 2 different weeks in May. And then in June, we have our Basics of the Italian Kitchen, which is a cool package. I think there's only 2 spots left for this. And it's learning to cook from the sea, from the garden, and from the woods. And it's a really nice mix of recipes that range from fish and salt crust to anchovies and things that you might not be as familiar with cooking with, to great meaty dishes and vegetarian delights from the garden. Something else that's going on is, let's see here. That's going on into June. And then, of course, we've got our Forage Slaughter Butcher at the end of the year, but I'll talk about those kind of packages later. And our 3-night summer special is super popular. Come Thursday for pizza night. Friday, we do our Friday market trip. Saturday, cooking class. Sunday, peace out. Head on to the next location.
Very good. All right. So email us at info@LaTavolaMarche, LaTavolaMarche. I said that really fast.
.com.
And contact Ashley if you'd like more information about packages or whatever, or anything, staying with us for the 2015 season. We found out yesterday?
Actually, 4 days ago.
4 days ago. Big congratulations. Ashley has been nominated for Travel Blog of the Year from Savoy Magazine.
From Savoy, yeah.
Savoy Magazine. Here's the funniest part about this. On Friday, they sent Ashley an email to her email address, but it said, congratulations, Miramar, or some weird name. And she did not believe, but everything else was LaTavolaMarche.
No, it didn't say anything else.
In the body of the email, it said LaTavolaMarche. No. Are you sure?
I'm positive. I read it like 10 times. I thought it was a mistake. So I wrote back to them saying, can you please confirm that this award is being nominated to Ashley Barner at LaTavolaMarche, because there's a different name at the top. And before I get my hopes up, like, they emailed this thing saying, here, submit all the stuff for a press package with your name and your photo and your bio and all of this. And I was like, oh man, I don't want to do this if this isn't really for me. What a schmuck will I look like if they sent it to the wrong email address and then I put all this stuff together for an award I'm not really nominated for. And then today, Twitter's blowing up that I really
announced the nominee.
Yeah, and I really was nominated. So I've got to get on this bio photo stuff. But pretty exciting. So go head over to Savoir.com and check out their blog awards. And what under travel blogs, you'll find LaTavolaMarche. And this is a really big deal for us. This is out of 50,000 blogs and 2 winners per category. I guess there's some big gala we're invited to in New
York
City.
Everyone loves a gala.
But we won't be able to go. But pretty exciting.
Yep. So, yes, vote for Ashley. She works really hard on the blog and takes great pictures and what are some of the blog posts that you've done recently that you think would
The Norcia was a big one, I think. Going to Norcia in Umbria to visit the butchers, and then another great one is visiting Modena for a balsamic tasting. There another really good one on there. I'm going to recycle some of these posts and re-put them up. Is the One Night in Napoli.
I love Napoli. We've already gotten into that.
But that was a really good one too. So I've got to redo a few of those. But holy smokes. I'm just totally surprised, to be honest.
Well, congratulations. Very good. Hopefully you will win. I hope so.
So with good news, should we talk about sad news?
Yeah, sad news. Since we've last did a podcast, we had a couple of people passed away that were really, really special to the area and to us. One is Leonardo. Do you want to talk about Leonardo?
Sure. Leonardo was the ringleader and the tambourine man, the self-proclaimed fire of Apecchio. He was the head of the drunk band of Apecchio, and they would come by and they played at some of our pizza nights. They played a spontaneous dinner concert for 6 guests, and they're an 8 to 10 piece band. It was pretty incredible. And he would do tours of the Palazzo and the in Apecchio and of the fossil museum there. And he just loved, he was an Apaquese till his death. Like, he just loved his village that he was from, was so proud of it. And he had a passion for sharing that with others through the music and through also through the tourism part, through working at the museum. He loved to share his village with other people. And
beautiful man, a sculptor. He made roses out of iron, mm-hmm. which were really beautiful and surprisingly delicate and
very
gorgeous.
Delicate. If you look at the video that we have online from doing Porchetta, the video of Jason and Porchetta, he shows up at the very end as we're walking through the market and says, ciao. And that's Leonardo, Fire of Apecchio.
And finally, Giancarlo Mocchi, someone who's very special to us, the Mocchi family in general, and another pillar of Piobico, lost his battle with cancer last night, which is very sad. He was behind 2 beautiful children and a wife and a family and a community that loves him. And we'll be going to the wake this afternoon and probably the funeral tomorrow. So even though it's a beautiful day here in Piobico, there's a little bit of sadness in the air, I guess.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it too much. Role.
I don't either. Okay, I'll get upset.
I'm like, whew, I can start telling stories and I'll lose it. I'm starting to already. I cry on.
Yeah, we were watching some stupid reality show and they kick someone off.
I teared.
And Ashley starts tearing. I'm like, what are you crying about? It's so sad. He worked so hard. It's so sad. So, yeah. So on a happier note, though, to how can we change the subject and make it happy instead of a bummer?
The chickens are still alive and kicking.
Oh my! We sent our when we were gone. We sent the chickens to our neighbor's house, and they are still laying like crazy.
Our neighbor took it to the next level because he was home by himself. His wife was out of town. We were out of town. It's the winter. It's just him with 10 chickens who are laying damn near every day. He started bartering for eggs with eggs for things like fish at the. Fishmonger to tools to all these different things. Like he'd bring
a newspaper
for the newspaper. Yes, and he's so proud of these things. He'll bring 40 eggs for 4 fish or something. And it's
he
like,
loves it.
Oh
and I'm
God.
Like, he's like, you should do this. I'm like, man, a newspaper's 68 cents or a euro. I don't have time, but I give the eggs away. I mean, there are a lot. If you don't make pasta, you can line up with 100 eggs a week.
Yeah, if you're alone and there's 10 eggs, holy smokes. So he's grown quite attached to them. He wants to keep a few.
So we'll let him keep a few. We're fixing up the chicken coop and
upgrading their accommodations.
Definitely upgrading their accommodations. So we'll be ready here in a couple days and we'll get a few more chickens to join the older ladies. The older ladies will teach the new ladies.
Someday I want fancy feet hens.
Yeah, we there's a in Bastia Umbria, there's a big agricultural fair going on usually after Easter, Easter's this weekend.
Oh my God.
So we might go get fancy chickens this year with with the feathers on their feet. Very fancy.
Very classy.
Very. So yeah, coming up this week, we are just going to keep on chugging along, working hard. We have Easter. We're not doing anything for Easter as far as guests this year. We stayed closed because we just got home.
We were not prepared at all.
So we'll probably go to Gaji's for Easter. It's the typical Easter at family. You know, a lot of yelling. You know, the same going through.
A lot of eating eggs. You have blessed eggs.
Yeah, blessed eggs. And it'll be good. We'll just get back to work. And then there's Pascueto or Easter Monday, which is for friends mostly. I think it's – what's the thing? It's
– Easter's for family. Easter Monday's for friends.
For friends. And again, we're not opening. Usually we do a Pascueto or Easter Monday. You know, we're open for lunch and we'll do 20 or 30 people. Mm-hmm. Not this year.
Oh, my gosh. And they're calling for snow on Easter.
They are. It's beautiful today. It's going to be really warm and gorgeous.
Either they are fully functionally terrible at their job.
the weatherman. It's too far away.
I mean, my God, it's gorgeous. How is it going to snow on 150 meters on Sunday? That's crazy.
Is
it just for show?
I don't know. Weather more than 3 days out is usually not very accurate. They don't know where the
day of.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you very much for listening to our little podcast. I know this is a bridge one. We didn't really get into any big stories or topics. It's just we're going to ease you back into life at Kakamone and opening back up the house because we have work to do. It's the morning time and I got to get going.
Yep, it's time.
If you like more information or you want to follow us, I'm going to have Ashley bring it home. She knows all of them. But thank you very much. Here she is.
Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for keeping in touch all winter long with your emails, asking us, encouraging words of support, saying, where's your next podcast? And we're back. We'll keep trying to do them again. Don't forget to send us your questions about the sale of the property and or starting a business in Italy, and we'll do our best to answer those on the next podcast. And you can find us at latavolamarche.com, latavolamarche.blogspot. Now we'll nominated for a Savora Travel Award. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube, all at La Tavola Marche, and Twitter. Or you can check me out on Instagram at Ashley Bartner, AshleyBartner.
And if you want to find out what we're doing next, that'd probably be the best place to start keeping an eye on.
Yep, start following us on Instagram for what's going on next, for sure, behind the scenes.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. I think we're going to put a little zazz on at the
end. Yeah, a little French, something swingy, something zazzy.
Yeah, a little zazz. It'll perk up your day, I hope. Ba-da-ba-da-ba. Thank you so much for listening, and we will fire up the microphones again. I'm not going to put what's the word I'm looking for?
I know.
For?
It's not restraints or limitations.
No.
Expectations.
I'm not going to make any increased expectations.
Don't.
Just be cautiously optimistic that there will one day be a new podcast. Am I thinking too highly of myself that anyone is listening to this?
No one's listening.
I know.
Have a great day, you guys.
Ciao.
Et passant, passant, je passe mon temps à les regarder penser. Leurs pas pressés dans leur corps les ailes. L'air passé se dévoile dans les pas sans se soucier. Que suspicieuse à la vue, je perçois le jeu de pan. Leur visage comme des masques me fait l'effet répugnant. Que faire semblant, c'est dans l'air du temps. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. L'enfant n'est fait que de fait, le fait est que les faits se reflètent à sa capacité de prendre le fait tel qu'il est, sans se référer à un système de pensée dans sa tête. L'instant déjà, c'était l'été hier encore. Le temps me surprend, semble s'accélérer. Les chiffres de mon âge. Passera, la dernière restera. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. Charaya. Chaque mois se joue en sont des cycles différents. C'est marrant, c'est un mot qui m'anime à travers tant d'un état à un autre. J'oscille inexorablement. Par les temps, je cours à l'équilibre. Chaque jugement sur les gens me donne la direction à suivre. Sur ces choses en moi à changer qui m'empêchent d'être libre. Les voix se libèrent et s'exposent dans les vitrines du monde en mouvement. Les corps qui dansent en osmose, ils se prennent, se confondent et s'attirent irrésistiblement. Par les temps, je cours à l'expression. Chaque émotion ressentie me donne envie d'exprimer les non-dits. Et que justice soit faite dans nos pauvres vies endormies. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. Passera, la dernière restera.